I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool, all right, good so far. Your turn.
Mate, I can't wait. Here we go.
All right, go for it.
Oh, it's six. Okay.
All right.
Oh, interesting tidbit.
Yeah, draw an interesting tidbit card. I love these.
Oh, this is an interesting and a tidbit all at once.
Oh, great.
Did you know that the longest ever musical performance is currently going on at the moment? Did you know that? It turns out in the Church of Bacardi in Halberstadt, Germany, there's a performance of John Cage's Organ Squared / ASLSP as slow as possible.
Right.
It started on September 5th, 2001, set to finish in 2640.
Wow.
Did you know that?
You know
the last time the note changed was in October 2013, and the next change isn't due until 2020.
Well, look, that's very... You know what? I'm gonna use an immediate interrupt.
It wasn't that immediate, was it, mate?
Well, no, I got bored. I know, but I got bored of it by the end. I'm going to use an immediate interrupt card, and mine is a tangent card, I'm afraid. So basically, can we each just roll to see if I'm allowed in?
I don't really want to do this, mate, no.
Right, well, I've got a three and you've got a two, so... Oh, well, that's great, Laurie, but who were the Council of Trent?
What do you mean, who were the Council of Trent?
Well, you know, because you were talking about some music thing, but the Council of Trent, it's really, you know, it's really on my mind at the moment. And
yeah, but, all right, what is it?
Well, no, that's what I'm asking you.
No, I'm asking you, what is it?
Well, I don't know.
Come here with your tangent. You can't expect me to provide
because
it for
wasn't
you.
Trent... Was Trent a place?
It's a river.
Right. Right, but, like, what? Why did it have a council, then? What was your music thing?
Well, it's actually a very interesting fact about John Cage and the longest ever musical performance, Paddy. You'd know if you ever listened to anything groundbreaking and avant-garde.
It's pretty obvious I won that turn.
You got me there!
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to take two counters, and now it is my go. Brilliant, okay.
Fucking nightmare things.
Okay, a seven, all right. Podcast obstacle.
Oh, mate. Why are we playing this fucking game?
Oh, no, because I absolutely love it. Okay, hang on, let me just...
I know you love
draw
it.
Draw one, okay. Ah, okay, right. Paddy has choked on a pen lid.
Has he?
During recording.
Has he?
Game is over.
Oh.
That's
it?
Well, yeah. It's done.
But I've got 1,800 podcast points to cash in.
Well, that's it. Neither of us win now.
Fucking kidding me.
No, we both
this
lost.
It took 8.5 hours.
Yeah.
And then you choke on a pen lid.
We can start again.
Fuck no.
All right. Well, I guess this is...
Absolutely fucking
shit. It's a foregone conclusion, isn't it?
On that.
Oh my god.
Pod shambles. Nice.
And thus they returned with a podcast.
You're expecting more of an impact with that intro,
I was hoping you'd like immediately jump in with a hey or something like that.
What? It's just like, and they returned with a podcast. Like, what a shit quest if they came back with like one episode of this podcast.
No, they've come back with 51.
It's Podchamber!
Episode 51. And now we're
Imagine if I jinxed you and we abided by playground rules and you could never ever ever talk again. So I said your whole name, Paddy Andrew Buttface Jervis.
I'll take Buttface as a variation on Xavier. I'm pretty happy.
How you doing,
that.
Man?
I'm
fucking home for once.
I'm home for once. It's very very unusual. I'm also, you know, I'm quite hungover, but I'm feeling great. Yeah, I'm feeling absolutely great.
Change, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know. It does make a change. I don't get hangovers that often, but we record a lot of hangovers.
I mean, okay, let's dial that back immediately. Paddy, I don't get hangovers very often, Jervis.
Yeah.
How often is not very often?
Why are you
getting your knees out?
Oh, because I get a bit hot when I have a hangover. And that's when my shirt's open as well, my dressing gown. I have a hangover maybe once a week.
And that's not very often.
No, that's only like 51 a year, 52 a year.
That's quite a lot, mate.
One for every episode.
Yeah, exactly.
It's always why we start recording late, because I emerge from my cave. Like, oh, what was it today? Yeah, Can I have a little sandwich?
Can I have a little pool?
No, Paddy, we've got to do. The people want what they want.
The people want what they want, and you know what they want? They want pod shovels, and that's why.
Okay, I have two problems, though.
Okay.
Number one, I don't think you're only hungover once a week.
Okay, right.
Number two.
That's fair.
Number two, that's quite often.
Is it?
I think so.
I think not.
I don't get many hangovers though, so that's. I know I don't really get hungover unless I have a huge, huge night. Whereas you sometimes appear to get hungover just having been to the pub.
That's true. It's well trodden ground. That whole like, oh, when you get older, don't the hangovers get worse? Don't they get worse?
I think they do a bit.
And I'm sure they do. And I think it would be naive of me to claim anything else.
You like, are a youngling.
Mine still aren't that bad. Like, I get a terrible one like once every 2 months
when I've been really
stupid. And last night we weren't really stupid. We had a lovely time and
all that.
But I can feel them getting worse. And like Johnny had a hangover the other day, and Johnny's only like 7 years older than us.
He's only 7 years old.
And
he's got his hangovers. They're like a little waft of fresh air.
He said, God, he loves his gin. God, he loves it for a child, doesn't he?
Little Johnny
with his little tumblers.
Not been the same since Mum left.
No, exactly. Not been the same. But like his are like, wow, they knock him for sick. Like,
wow.
Let me tell you, knock him for sick. I'm my dad.
But
now,
there's a funny thing like with hangovers, right? Because like with any like personal illness as opposed to like a non-personal illness.
Magnum PI.
Like a public illness.
Magnum personal illness.
Nice.
That's what I think.
Really
That's what detectives are.
Like, it's all so subjective.
Yeah.
And like, someone's bad hangover is someone else's, like, I'm still going to go for a run this morning move,
yeah,
isn't it?
And loads of people.
And I feel like you don't wallow in a hangover very often.
No.
And when you do, it's a bad one.
And
you smell,
yeah,
and you're crying.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't do that. Maybe I do self-pity when I have a hangover.
Oh, everyone does. I think that's kind of one of the symptoms, isn't it?
Yeah,
yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you get those people who are like, well, it's your own fault. And it's like, I know it's my own fault, but I still feel like shit. Like, absolutely. Like, do you, like... But I have, and this just sounds like I'm being like, but I'm pretty cool. But like, I think I have a relatively high pain threshold.
Do you?
Yeah, I think I do. Hey, don't pitch me.
You didn't like that.
No, but it kind of made me
pain.
Ooh, it gave me a little erection.
It gave you a little boner.
Is that what
you're actually saying? You're saying you don't have a pain tolerance, you just have pain boner threshold.
Yeah, so a high level of masochism that I really like to display for everyone. That's why I'm wearing such loose shorts.
You are, they're too loose.
Yeah, but like, I think I have a high threshold for pain, and maybe that's why I don't get whammed from hangovers yet, but maybe I'll just get shittier as I get older.
You probably do have a high threshold for pain, actually, don't you?
Yeah.
Because you've got gammy arm, you've had for years.
Yeah, I've got gammy leg.
Gammy eyes.
I'm always hitting my head on things,
yeah,
and having to deal,
yeah,
with
you've
it.
You've had a couple of tattoos and piercings. Yeah, I know I've got a very low pain threshold.
Do you really think so?
Well, yeah, I do.
You've got a high threshold for bullshit.
For bullshit.
Yeah, like mental pain.
Mental anguish. Oh, it's not... It looks like it's a high threshold. Inside, I'm just broken constantly.
But that still counts as a threshold, doesn't it? Because it's literally the threshold
exterior
that is bottling up all the rage that we make you feel.
I think we're mixing it up here.
Are we? Why are we mixing? What have I got wrong?
Mixing threshold metaphors.
Yeah, but that's how I work.
Yeah, I don't know. I like getting this tattoo that I've got. Sorry, Mum. That really hurt and like... But I could take it.
You absolutely took it. You didn't stop him or anything during the whole thing.
I don't like it.
I was sat with Laurie. I got him a Ribena.
You did get me a Ribena because I didn't want a Coca-Cola.
No, exactly.
I wanted my little Ribena to go with my little kiddie
You
tattoo.
Sat with your little carton, yeah, whilst this enormous dude just burns something into your foot.
It's odd. Piercing my sternum. I had a really clever thing to talk about.
Does this might actually be what you were going to say, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, but do you believe in the thing that's like you have a lower pain threshold because you have ginger hair?
Oh, no idea. I don't think so, no. But that's the thing. It's one of these... God, we've gone off the deep end here, but
yeah,
it's... again, it's completely subjective. Like, what is pain? And there is probably like a raw human emotion that everyone feels called pain, and it feels similar for everyone.
Yeah.
But the level to which you feel it is so completely variable in so many things, right? I doubt hair colour is one of them. Because like all that being ginger is like not having a pigment in your skin.
And that is obviously like the sensitive UV thing. Fine, yeah, I totally see how that relates. But I've always been told that it's like, oh, if you have ginger hair, you typically have a lower pain threshold. And I've always kind of thought that's bollocks, because I always assumed you have quite a high pain threshold because you do lots of cycling and running and football and all that kind of stuff. And that's come back in, and you're like, oh, God, my muscles ache a bit.
That's like a good one. That's like good achy pain.
Yeah,
I can't deal with like, I've never broken a bone, for instance.
Yeah.
And like I've sprained stuff, and I always really like, oh, I can't walk. Oh, I'm done. I've got a bruise. I'm done.
Yeah, you've got a massive bruise at the moment on your arm.
I do. Oh, that is what I was about to say.
I went to give blood.
No, you've reminded me. I went to give blood yesterday. Look at that.
Look at it. God, it's greener. Looks like you've got a little sandworm under there. Just.
Well, this is the thing. So I thought this is one of those weird times when you're like, I don't really know how I'm judging my pain or that I'm feeling, right? Because they say, I don't know if you guys have ever given blood, and apologies if you're squeamish about this, but you go and you have all these, there's a load of preamble, and they kind of really build it up because you have to go and then you have to get your blood tested on a very small scale. You give them a little pinprick of blood.
Right.
And they see if your iron content's good and hemoglobin, all this shit. And then you go into another queue and then eventually get strapped into this chair where they put a light. Get put in a chair. It's weird. They're like plastic seats that then tip back so that you're on your back when you're giving blood.
Oh, what? Why?
Why? Because
Faint.
Yeah, so you don't faint.
Oh,
exactly.
That's
so
really
an
logical.
Even distribution of blood.
Like a dentist chair.
Exactly.
Oh, that's cool.
But it's like really, it's literally like a, just tilts. It's amazing.
Oh, wow.
But they always say if it hurts, it shouldn't hurt. Like giving blood shouldn't hurt. Like obviously the needle going in will hurt.
Yeah.
But once it's in there, they try and numb it all up. It shouldn't sting.
Yeah.
Much more than like having a pinprick will. And the guy put the line in me, and I was like, immediately, I was like, actually, it really hurts.
Yeah.
There's something going wrong. And as soon as I said that, he was like, oh, okay, we need to stop this right now. And I suddenly was like, no, but oh, no, I'm just being silly.
Oh,
And then my arm just started swelling up.
Oh.
And he was like, yeah, what I think's happened here is we've slightly nicked the inside of the vein there.
Yeah.
So you're bleeding, you're going to bruise really badly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take this
and
out
And I'm just going to get the surgeon. The surgeon comes in with his hammer.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, his time is hard to come off, I'm afraid, Mr. Havelock.
Yeah, sorry, Bertie, I know we don't use you very much, but we've got a Havelock on our hands.
Okay,
bang, bang, bang!
No more arms for you!
Yeah.
But it was exactly that, and I felt like such a shit, because I was thinking, if only I was less of a PU55Y, I would have... I would have just carried on and they'd have my blood and it would be fine.
Oh, but then it
might
be bad
blood. But they had to stop
it
and they couldn't then take my blood.
Yeah.
And I had to have like a nurse had to, they kind of put me aside like, well, a nurse is going to come talk to you.
Yeah.
And I was like, really, I'm fine. And I had to be kind of talked down because you can get really bad complications with a bruise.
Right.
This is a really boring blood giving story.
No, I'm enjoying
it. It was exactly that. And I was like, I don't know whether that's my pain threshold's out of whack or whether that actually hurt a lot more than I was giving it credit for.
Yeah.
And just at the time I was, ignoring pain because it's giving blood, it was going to be a bit painful anyway.
Yeah.
All that stuff. And I found it a very weird thought process to think, what should I have done? Was this okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that's completely reasonable because also, you should totally tell them what's going on. Two, I had almost the exact same thing happen to me. I'm not allowed to give blood because I have a low clotting agent in my
bit
blood.
Hemophilic.
Yeah, exactly. So I bleed
I love
a lot.
That blood.
But thereby, it means that my blood gets tested a lot to make sure, I've got, especially when I'm having surgeries and stuff like that. And I had old mate who was in a bit of a rush.
It's the same thing, though. They're probably taking a line out, aren't
absolutely.
They?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Went into the vein, caught the other side of the vein and sucked that into the needle, and I was like, oh, this feels terrible. He's like, I know, we're in a bit of a rush. And then the nurse was like, there is a massive problem because my vein just went like that. And it was awful.
It's
and then
it's agony.
Yeah, that's so that really hurt.
Yeah.
There you go, that really, really hurt. And I had physio yesterday and I feel like absolute shit.
Yeah.
When normally you should feel better.
Do you feel terrible now?
I feel like I've had the shit kicked out of
me. Felt terrible yesterday.
It was
and I was like, we were all like, oh no, but you'll wake up tomorrow and you'll be fine.
No, I feel even worse if anything today. And maybe it's because I've
had a good stretch out.
I've had a good stretch out, but quite literally, an enormous Thai lady just beat me up. That was it.
And you paid her a lot of money for the privilege.
I paid her a lot of money, and she thought it was hilarious. She was like, oh, look, this bit is fucked as well. For some reason, her voice is the same as mine. She's got her hammer or whatever it is. But that's it. Maybe my pain threshold's getting lower. But anyway, what I was going to say earlier on is I'm very hungover, and the fact that it's a good reason is no. Laurie and I didn't go out on the lash, you know, pick up a couple of floozies, hit the Vegas casino, and do all of that awful stuff. No.
When have we ever done that?
We got drunk.
When would we ever hit up the casino with a couple of floozies pads? You did it once in Monte Carlo and, like, lost a lot of money from what I gather.
Yeah, my floozy was Benjay.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I won 50 euros, remember?
Oh, you did win 50
yeah,
euros.
Yeah, I won 50 euros. Yeah, exactly. Big spender.
I did it once in Las Vegas. We went away on a family holiday and I went into one and I was like, I'm going to play one hand of... I've just chucked a pen at the laptop.
Threw a pen at my laptop, all right.
Fuck you, lad. I played one. I was like, I'm going to save a bit of holiday money. I'm going to go do a bit of betting in Las Vegas.
You got to.
And I went to. We were in the thing in the Hard Rock Hotel, which was pretty fucking cool. And I went down to one of the tables and I was like, oh, they're playing poker. I was like, sorry, how much is like a hand of poker? They're like, oh, it's like $50 just to buy in, and then you've got a bet on top of that. And I was like, oh. And I went and played one hand of blackjack with $20, the lowest you could play.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, like literally like in the movie, sat down. I was like, here we go, a bit of blackjack. And they flipped my two cards over. It's like 13. I was like, hit. And immediately a 9. Yeah, exactly. I was like,
"Ah!" You're like, "You're out."
Yeah, I was like, "Great, that was it." That
and then
was
did you 20... have to stand up and be like, "Gentlemen," and
like, walk away from it. And there were like two other guys there, like some like myopic Asian man. And someone else, and yeah, I can't really remember.
Did you have that thing where, like, stood behind you were, like, two incredibly beautiful women,
with the cocktails? Yeah. As soon as I lost the bet.
Exactly, they just got you turned to them late, they walked away long times ago.
No, they did do free drinks for as long as you were betting, so I got one free drink.
I think that's super
and
dangerous.
And then tried to get another one. Yeah. Well, that's the whole point of why they did
it. Well, yeah, of course.
Anyway, sorry, well, we weren't gambling.
Oh, yeah, we weren't gambling.
In a way, we weren't gambling.
You know that we have to organise a gambling trip, by the way, for James's stag do.
Oh, my God.
Where? I know that he's not engaged.
He's not engaged
but
yet.
But he has talked me through it the other night, like, when we were talking talking about stags. A lot of our friends are going on stag do's at the moment.
Well, you've not been invited on one of them.
No, I haven't. And I haven't been invited to one of them, which I'm very upset about. But the other one, which I can't make, unfortunately, is, like, horseback archery.
Well, they were going to do that. It turns out you can't do it unless you have, like, a team of very qualified people to teach you. Guess what? There are only about 5 qualified horseback archery instructors in the whole of the fucking country.
Yeah, so exactly. And they're not available, unfortunately. but like James was like, oh, well, you guys are organising my stag.
Hang on. Maybe they're not available. Available.
That was very quick. You managed to get that joke on the hoof.
On the
Here we go. You could go on a little quest.
Equestrian
to the place.
Anyway, skip to the
and James
end.
Was like, yeah, no, you know that you're organising my stag. And he was like, yeah, man. And in my head, I'm like, little cabin in the woods,
yeah.
You know, get him some beers. And he was like, Vegas. And I was like, oh, he's joking. He was like, no. Like, we're going to Las Vegas.
James, I love you, mate. I'm not spending like a grand to go to your stag do, if that's what's going to involve.
I don't have that kind of money or patience.
Like, they don't play patience in casinos, mate.
It's another joke from Podshambles that definitely landed. So the reason, as Laurie was trying to say, and I interrupted again, I'm very sorry.
I think we both did.
Instead of the coolness of going out, you know, a couple of birds, whatever, going down the market, get a new bird, we instead stayed in and played Settlers of Catan.
Oh my God, man. It's my new obsession. I got bought it years ago for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I think I asked for it. And then I went to see our friends Ben and Aiden.
Yeah.
Hello, if you're listening.
Yeah, they are definitely listening. Sexy men.
We had it was a freelancer's soiree, which we'll be invited to next time, but you weren't actually freelancing.
No,
you were
I was
very
freelancing.
Busy with work.
Exactly.
But we were all off, and then we had a Monday night and we got pissed playing gin. Drinking gin. Playing Catan.
Still drunk.
My, what a game. It's so fucking good. And then we played with Zach the other night.
Yeah.
And that was really fun, although Zach lost and was very upset.
Yeah, exactly. I won and was very pleased.
You were very pleased. You're insufferable when you win at a board game.
I
know, but it's because you're trying really hard to be, like, quiet that you enter this little quiet, smug aura. And it's like, if I tell you to fuck off, you're just going to be like, oh, no, sorry, man. And then still be quietly happy.
Oh,
like,
I'm really...
Oh, it's the worst!
I'm really sorry.
No, it's
fine. I have this thing about... Like, because, like, for a start, I don't often win.
One, two in a row, mate.
I have won two in a row. But, like, normally... So I think I'm now quite good at being a semi-gracious loser.
Yeah, they definitely are.
And I think that that's really valuable, and I think sportsmanship is an incredibly good thing. But then, like, when I win, I feel like a dick if I'm ever like, oh, great, like, yeah, I won. Because I think that's really... But then that's not doing that, is that worse?
People read into that way too much. Because I think if you're there and you're going, yeah, fucking in your face, suck my balls, that's up yours, Roderick.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a bit easier to combat, whereas you were so reasonable with this, when me and Zach played you.
Yeah.
There was this really weird tension in the air afterwards, because Zach felt very hard done by. Because if you're not playing Catan, it's literally all about dice rolling.
Like, yeah.
It's,
and you kind 70% of, chance.
Yeah, you're trying to trade stuff and you're getting trying to get a monopoly over the resources on this island.
Yeah.
Which you can do a bit through skill and craft, but mostly you've got to roll the right dice numbers to get the stuff you need on your points. This is how it works. I'm not going to explain the whole
thing. Yeah, exactly. The rules are quite lengthy, but it does click after it's about 15 clicks. Minutes. You're like, oh! Yeah,
and it's really fun. And it's all about backstabbing and being horrible to people.
And trading anyway, and being
and
lovely.
And trading, well, if you want to.
Well, hey.
And Zach just got shafted on dice rolls, and it was his first game. He made one quite bad call at the start, which then went very badly for him. And at the end, instead of usually, you know when you lose a game like that, a board game, and you have a bit of that, like yeah, everyone goes, oh, and of course, you know, in turn five when you did that, that fucks me, so I couldn't.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Everyone likes
exactly. A bit of a play-by-play.
Yeah.
Like, so let's just go to the instant replay, Jeff, and we'll see. Oh, there's the bad dice roll right there. Exactly. Down the left wing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible.
But that's it. But because, I mean, you've got this game a little while ago, and that's in my head, I'm one of those people that loves board games.
Yeah.
I think it's because I have this idea of myself that I like dorky things that are maybe, like, slightly more niche than... Yeah, yeah, hey, I mean, I guess we could play Scrabble, but... Oh,
Wouldn't you rather play...
Yeah, and
Boggle?
Then... Boggle? That's like the... That even sounds like Scrabble.
I know!
So I think I've got this idea that I'm really into all that kind of stuff, but actually, I know jack shit about board games. And you got this a while ago, and you've been for quite a while, been like, oh, we should play Catan.
Because it's great.
And I've always been like, oh, yeah, that'd be great, man. But then thinking, you know, I'll take hours and I'll be shit at it and I won't enjoy it. And then it just so happened that you caught us at the right time. And
The other night.
Fucking great evening. Both times we played it now, absolutely loved it.
It's fantastic. Did you know, because it captures that thing that a really good video game does.
Mm.
But, like, guaranteed with the board game, really good video games are accessible to anyone.
Yeah.
You play something like, as in multiplayer ones, you play something like, I think Mario Kart's quite a bad example, because Mario Kart, you need to be, like, the way that you and Jay play it.
Yeah.
You guys are good, and you know those courses back to front.
Oh, but so are you.
But you have to concentrate, and you have to play well. We couldn't, if we had a new girlfriend around, for example.
Yeah.
We couldn't be like, hey, come play Mario Kart with me, Paddy and Jay, because
it would be unbearable. Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas a game like, what's a good example, like Nidhogg?
Really
cool sword fighting
one. Yeah, exactly, where it's just like pick up and go.
Yeah, it's a really simple, but... really good board games, like, even simply, because everyone knows the basics of your dice, you do the thing, you get
yeah,
the
yeah, you pick a card and you use that card.
And that's what I like about Catan, is like, you don't really need to be a gamey person.
No, it all makes sense. That's exactly it. When I was trying, because I sort of briefed James that we might play it, and he was like, oh, is it going to be one of those things where, like, you guys are really good at it because you know all about stuff? And I was like, no, I basically think there are probably two tiers that I'm aware of board games, and let's just call them lower and higher. Uh-huh. Lower tier is your Monopolies, Scrabbles, your Battleships, your Snakes and Ladders, all that. And that's all, and there's a varying level of quality, and everyone sort of knows those games. And then you've got the high tier for when people are like, I play board games, and whenever you go to those people's houses, they have fucking stacks of them.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, this is Secret Hitler. This is like, this is how this works, and it's super complicated. We should play it sometime." And you never play it.
No.
And like Liam, for example, Liam knows so much about this.
We've got several of his.
Oh yeah, with Saboteur, we've got Liam's one.
We need to crank that.
And something about gnomes.
It's miners. It's a mining game.
Yeah,
and you can build tunnels and you can sabotage each other's tunnels.
Absolutely, super cool. All this stuff sounds super rad. And I think Catan is definitely in the higher tier, but it's like the lowest echelon of that high tier.
It's basically like, I think it's the start. It's the gateway drug to the crack that is big board games.
Exactly.
You go from this, like, Ticket to Ride is the other route. Have you ever played that?
The train one,
which is very...
I've got that on Steam.
Weirdly like Catan.
Yeah.
See, that's what I don't understand. I'll get around to that in a second.
Right.
Board games on Steam, man.
Starting to get into the computer game
world. Well, yeah. Like, what's the... So, I was going to say that the thing I love about Catan and all these things is that there is no escaping sitting around a table and staring each other down. It's just really fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because even if you're playing Mario Kart on the telly...
You can't be beer in one hand and smoke in the other whilst chatting. You're playing cards.
You can't be like, oh, let's take 10 minutes while I make a pizza or something. Yeah. That's what's so fun about the board game.
Yeah.
And it can kind of fit, it can swell or shrink to fit any evening.
Yeah.
Depending on what you're doing. I mean, maybe that's a bit grandiose. But you can now get all these board games on Steam and on games consoles.
And therefore you end up playing sort of on your own.
Yeah.
But if you love that kind of stuff, then totally fair enough.
Do what you want to do. I'm not going to tell anyone off for doing what they want to do. But
you're absolutely right. It's actually, it's just using it as a way of socialising. I know that's exactly the kind of argument that someone who's really into gaming uses, like me and like you, being oh no, it's actually a really social thing. And it totally is, but I think to people who aren't into it, that does sound bullshit.
It does sound bullshit, and I think I enjoyed that aspect of Catan so much. I would never want to play that on the computer against someone anonymously. It's like Civ, right? Civilization,
yes.
5 and 6, particularly the new ones. Like, they're cracking games, but fundamentally, they're a board game with graphics.
Yeah.
And it would be an immensely complicated and nuanced board game, but a board game nonetheless. And I'm always like, this would be so cool if you played this on a huge world map with, like, four of your mates in front of you.
Yeah, totally.
Or if you were, like, Yogg's cast.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You had a recording studio with six backstage stations. Oh,
yeah, exactly. Green screens and you got cameras
and then stuff. That's fun again.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'd love to do one day if we got a budget behind this. Because that's the thing. You and I do play, like some role-playing card games and stuff like that. And, like, we've done Snake Oil on the podcast before and we've done shit like that. And also,
we need to do more of that.
Yeah, maybe we absolutely should. I need to buy some more first because we've only really got Snake Oil and stuff like Cards Against Humanity. And to be honest, I don't like Cards Against Humanity.
No, do you know what? Oh, someone put this much more pithily than I'm about to. But the thing about Cards Against Humanity is that you're it's like a popularity contest, and you're just trying to a popularity contest for quite unfunny jokes, which are made up for you.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like after a while, you're just voting in what the group's favourite cards are.
Who said the most offensive thing?
Yeah, or who got lucky enough to get the, you know, Jade Goody's Cancerous Remains card.
Yeah, exactly.
It is.
And everyone goes, whoa!
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, and it's really, like, the first time you play it, it is really fun.
I'd never heard of it first time I played it, and I was like, this is class. But there are people who like playing that, like, every week.
Yeah.
And they buy expansions and stuff.
Someone's ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly. Someone, won't mention any names. But yeah, it's... Sorry, that was really...
Literally, basically, her name.
That's really unfair. But yeah, I never got on board with that. And, like, and I don't know. Yeah, you're right. It's, like, prescribed humour.
Yeah, well, there's a really good alternative version, which is... I can't remember what it's called. It's a bit like Mad Libs or something. But you it's basically Cards Against Humanity. Like, there's a question asked of the room. And you will write a suggestion. They play it on Yogg's a couple of times.
Oh,
with
yeah.
With the counters. You have to vote for the ones. That's better, because then you're still...
There's an element of creativity.
There's a really good Twitch game a while ago. See, maybe that's the way that board games work. Is like on Twitch.
Yeah.
I've seen people do... There are a couple of ones where streamers... I can't remember what it's called. You get streamers playing it, and everyone has, like, a camera on them, and they're all, you know, established streamers.
Right.
And they get their fans to come and, like, join their team. And in the channel... streamers, it'll be like, what is the bloody blah, blah, blah? And the four streamers will anonymously put up four answers.
Right.
And then the entire Twitch chat votes on which is the best, and then you get points depending on who does it. And that's amazing, because it starts being like, oh, who can be funny? Who can be witty?
Yeah.
And then it starts, like, diving in on itself and becomes... in jokes, and then, like, jokes about previous answers, and jokes about jokes about jokes, and,
that's fun.
That's really fun. Yeah. Yeah, when it's like that, when it kind of makes use of the medium a bit. Oh.
Oh, man, that's absolutely... Well, like, this is not a role-playing card game to the same extent, but also, Laurie has taught me how to play Magic.
Magic the Gathering. I'm disappointed in myself, listeners, because it's like, it's a long, hard road.
Oh,
the Magic
man,
the Gathering
a long,
road.
Hard road that I want in my mouth. just long and hard and deep.
You know, give me those mana. Give those right down my wet.
Just tap me.
Tap me. Tap me good and proper.
Tap me, command me. These are jokes that only 1 in 100 people will like.
Well, because our friend Tom plays quite a high level Magic, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So it's always been in my consciousness, like this, like he spends thousands of pounds on it and wins thousands of pounds playing it.
Yeah, exactly. He plays professionally.
Yeah. He does really well. But it's always been like a bit
he plays it at gatherings. It's like I always say, Laurie, alienate the audience
as much as possible.
Divide
from
them.
Minute one.
Divide,
get them out the door. Do some regional accents as well.
So bring them back in. Annoy the Northerners.
Wow, that was horrible.
Magic the Gathering. I don't know what.
Don't have help here, do we? No, we just got sheepdog to game. Who's got Flossy, mate? Come by.
Come back.
Come back. Johnny and I were, this is a very small tangent, we were in Newcastle the other day and we were trying to think about how fast we could lose everyone in the audience, and Johnny walked on stage and went,
I'm gonna
it was so funny. And then we were, and then after the gig it was like, I wonder how we could alienate the rest of the population of Newcastle. Like, how would we get robbed the quickest? And we were walking down an alleyway, both with our suitcases, really loudly. You know when your suitcase goes down the
cobbles,
like that. We started singing this little song, and all these like guys were like watching us, and we started singing this song that went, I'm wheeling my bag from London
on a sunny holiday to the north.
Yeah, exactly that. It was just like seeing him like tipping your cap to people. It was so nasty.
That's how you do it, mate.
Anyway, sorry, back to Magic the Gathering. Christ, it's fun.
Fucking hell, man. So yeah, but it's because of Tom playing at such a high level, he's always had this weird status among our friends of like, oh, Tom's gone to play fucking Magic again, he's not going to come out for a week.
Yeah, exactly. But and thereby they sort of resent it.
So as so I had weird feelings about it. Then our friend, even AJ,
yeah,
loves it. And I can't remember why I went to, because I went to the store to do a draft.
Oh, right, a draft.
With the new, so they release these new sets all the fucking time to make money. And you go, you can do this event in store where you go and make, they give you some packets.
Yeah.
You know, like old Pokemon cards, you know, the booster packs.
Yeah.
And you have to make a deck there and then out of those cards. And you fight other people. You know, it's a bit of fun. Like the Hearthstone arena.
Oh, yeah.
I did that and I met a friend of ours, AJ, who we know from before. And I was like, oh shit, you play it. And it turns out he's mega into Magic.
Oh
and
my god, he's into Magic.
He's enticed me in. And we played a version with him called Commander, which is this really fun mode when you have a huge deck of different cards. Oh, it's,
and we played it three ways.
Yeah, you play it with three ways and you have like a commander who's your special dude.
Yeah.
Anyway, all this stuff.
I was elves.
Magic's amazing, man. It is so, it's the deepest fucking game in the world. There are so many levels and there are just so many cards.
And I really thought when we were playing, I was like, oh cool, this will like burn 20 minutes or whatever. We played for like 5.5 hours.
Without blinking.
Yeah, without blinking. We ordered some pizzas and like did that thing where we like walked to the door while still looking at the table and opened it and was like, thanks man, and took the pizza and like walked back over really slowly. And like it was so much fun. But yeah, I'm too worried that I'll get into it. It's the sort of thing that obviously I would really get into.
I think, but the thing is with that, I'm quite confident neither of us ever are going to want to play professionally.
Oh no, like, of course not.
The stakes are too high and the money's too much.
But it is a really good way to spend an evening.
But that's what I'm going to do, is build this Commander deck, which basically I was watching some videos about. If you build like a standard deck, like the ones that you can play competitively against people, like the normal way that people play now, they can cost somewhere around $1,000 to build, like the top competitive
Jesus
decks.
Christ.
You have to go and buy the singles, they're called. Like, you have to go and buy the individual cards from people who sell individual cards or people who are trading them.
Like eBay.
Yeah, exactly. Right, and if it's the good cards, funny enough, they're going to be worth a fucking lot. So some cards which
like
go
Black
for like.
Black Lotus.
Black Lotus is really rare, that's why that's really.
Yeah.
And that's very old. Actually,
yeah.
To get it right, probably.
Like, oh, sorry.
First edition. But, you know, like, single cards will go for £20 each, and you need four of them in most decks. Like, four's the number you can play. So you're immediately spending £80 on four fucking cards.
On four cards.
And it's insane.
And you could just draw your own.
You could just draw your own. Well, people print their own. That's the thing. If they're playing among their friends, people just print them out and are like,
Well, now I've won.
Yeah, well, not like now I've won, but like, if they play a really cool deck against someone.
Then that is entirely fair.
I think it kind of is, isn't
it?
It's funny.
Because what is it? Wizards of the Coast.
Wizards of the Coast.
They must be fucking loaded.
They own that, and they own D&D.
D&D, yeah, exactly.
And they own loads of other books.
And like a player's manual on D&D is like £30 now. Or
yeah,
something like that.
That's the thing. I can't remember the last time I bought a D&D book.
I bought a monster manual when I was about 9 years old, and I'm pretty sure it was £20.
Yeah,
and I got it for my birthday.
It's like the Warhammer books.
Yeah, man.
The Warhammer.
Yeah.
Have you seen how much? I mean, it's always been expensive. Have you seen how much it is now?
No.
It's fucking. So the shop I go to play Magic in is called Dark Sphere down in Westminster. Go there, guys. It's great fun.
Hey.
A little plug. And you can. They got all the new sets of Warhammer, and they keep relaunching it and like giving you rules and stuff. But a box of five Space Marines is now like £25. Like, it's mad.
You got to buy the codexes, which are like your, the
and
explanation
they
of your
keep
army.
Relaunching it and new rules and all this shit. Like, it's just, I think you must have to spend thousands of pounds to have a good army now.
Well, that's the thing, but it relies on like such a tiny market being super on board.
Super on board. I mean, I've probably at home got about a grand's worth of Warhammer.
Yeah.
From growing up.
Because that's the thing. Being the youngest
of five. Did you get all the
hand-me-down? Like, I not only got the hand-me-downs from my brothers, I also got the hand-me-downs from my brother's friends.
Yeah.
Who were the youngest in their family and didn't want it anymore. So I just get given all this crap. And it's still, like, at my house.
It's painted
nicely. It's all terribly painted. No, I wasn't great at painting, but I've got quite a lot of his paintings. I've got one, like, professionally painted by, like, a Warhammer God? What do you call them? A master? One of the proper painters.
The painters got the Golden Demon Awards.
Absolutely. So I won.
That's my knowledge.
I won a Tree Man. Because I went, exactly, Wood Elves was my thing, and Wood Elves weren't very cool because they hadn't relaunched them yet when I started playing, so they were still all the old models and they were quite crap.
Oh wow, yeah, that wasn't so long ago then. That was only early thousands.
Before, it was about 99, something like that. I was about eight years old.
Well, they only relaunched Warhammer in about 2004, 2005. That's when I started playing again. Yeah, it's weird. The timeline's weird. But you're right. They didn't relaunch Elves.
And I went into a game to it's fucking lovely, actually. It shows the givingness of some kinds of gamers and stuff like that. I went into this shop and I was in Games Workshop and I was with my friend Tom. My friend Tom collected like fucking one of the ones that like you can get everything like that had been relaunched. Like he collected something
in fantasy.
Like, yeah,
the Empire.
Yeah, or... it was something like Empire or something Orcs. Yeah. And he had this pick of the fucking litter and the Wood Elves because they hadn't been re-released yet. They
handful
had like
of models.
Yeah, handful of models.
You could basically get plastic bowmen.
Yeah.
Scouts. Oh God, I'm not going to go the whole list. Yeah, Scouts, exactly. Waywatchers, Dryads.
Yeah.
Tree Men.
Orion.
Exactly.
Forest
character.
Dragon. Like all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, which again.
But yeah, and anyway, and I was looking in one of the display cases, and there was this Tree Man. He was enormous, and he was painted beautifully. And this dude came over and was like, "Oh, do you collect Wood Elves?" And I was like, yeah. And he was like, yeah, we don't have many Wood Elves. They haven't re-released them yet. And I was like, yeah, it sucks. And I'm not very good at painting. And also, Tree Men are really expensive. But I think they're the only good thing I could get. And he was like, okay, well, that was painted by one of the Golden Demon guys. I'll tell you what, if you beat me in Rock, Paper, Scissors, I'll give it to you.
Aww.
And this guy ran the store. And we played Rock, Paper, Scissors. And I lost. And he went 2 out of 3. And I lost again. He was like 3 out of 7. And he did that until I won. And then he was like, congratulations. And he gave it to me as a gift.
It's the Oxford shop.
No, it was the Swindon branch.
I was going to say, the Oxford shop. Kind of.
The Oxford shop. They hated everyone.
So I have a real formative memory of being at our school. And I'm not going to name names. I'll tell you after the podcast who it was. But I once went, because I used to go on Sunday evenings and afternoons.
Yeah.
And play Warhammer there.
Yeah.
And it's a bit, you know, I didn't really tell people because it's Warhammer and it was school.
Yeah,
it doesn't, it's not still, a great mix.
We were both part of the Wargaming Society.
Oh, I went to play GameCube, though.
Yeah, that's
everyone
true.
Went to. I only went to, like, 3 ever.
Yeah.
Some guys from school, like, came in and like, you know when you go into, you're doing something like that and your mates come in and start pissing around
yeah,
you?
Yeah,
And I was like, this is the most uncool thing that's ever happened.
Yeah.
And I stopped going for years because of that.
Yeah, I think I had the same thing. The exact same thing. Because, it was bigger boys. Big boys came.
Well, I used to have to get a lift into Oxford from my dad on a Sunday night. God bless my dad. He went through so much nerdy shit with me that he has obviously no intent. Like, he used to have to drive me in because we lived in the middle of nowhere on a Sunday night and drive me back at like 9 o'clock on a Sunday night, which was late for a 14-year-old or whatever. And he took me to Birmingham a couple of times for the games day they did when they showed you
the
models,
like the massive stores
and the Golden Demon, all the painting stuff. That was really cool.
Oh, I'm rubbing my knees.
And I think he got his own way with my little brother, who was much more into model railways. My dad was like, "Yeah,
now we're stoking the engines." My dad with his little captain's hat. Lovely.
I think we need to get way more into it though. Like, I think it's legit the best way to spend a night. It's what AJ does. Is AJ takes magic cards down the pub.
Yeah.
And he just, like, random people will be like, "Do you want to come?" Not like random people, but he'll take a mate or stuff. And, like, he says random people will come and join in.
Yeah.
Once they see what's happening.
What, and they just happen to have their decks on them?
Yeah. Well, no.
Like in their holsters.
That's the thing. Once you've played it for ages, you just cut. He has a backpack full of cards.
That he just carries around with.
Yeah, and he has, like, his 3 decks or the decks he brings for us to play. And then he has, like, 3 spare, just in case.
That is absolutely
lovely.
Because
he has so many.
All right, Loz, well... Let's get into it in a big way.
All right.
I might see if in time for the next couple of podcasts, I might see if I can purchase a new, maybe a new role-playing game we can play or something
nice.
Like that. Something we could do an episode of.
I hope it's called Fisherman's Fancy and it's a sexy role-playing game.
I'd
one
like
of
another
us
fish.
Is the fisherman and the other one has to seduce him with the fishwife wiles.
The other one's like a selkie
or something like that. Oh,
And you get bottom points. Yeah, and wiggle points, and you have to like spend them on wiggling at the thing.
Yeah, siren calls.
Plus
one to crabbing.
Rock obstacles.
Mate, let's do it.
Let's do it. And if it's not real, we'll build it.
Just fuck it.
Right, fuck it.
Bing, bang, bing, bang, bong. Everybody dance to the podcast song. Bing, bang, bing, bang, bong. It's a podcast song, now sing along.
Everybody,
bing, bang, bing, bang, bong. Everybody dance to the podcast song. Bing, bang, bing, bang, bong. It's a podcast song, now sing louder. Bing, bang, bing, bang, bong. Everybody dance to my podcast song. Bing, bang, bing, bang, bong. Podcast song, now sing louder. Bing, bang, bing, bang, bong. Everybody dance to the podcast song. Bing, bang, bing, bang, bong. It's a podcast song, now sing along.
Well, my little Schtroumpf, I've got a little game for you, my little... Oh, look at you with your lovely little eyes.
What's a
Schtroumpf? A Schtroumpf is the French for Smurf.
Oh, yeah, le Schtroumpf.
Le Schtroumpf. That's quite a good
word,
isn't it?
Oh, yeah. They're Belgian,
obviously. Speaking of words...
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Hello.
Speaking of words, I think... Are they Dutch? I don't know. Are they like
the
Flemish
Smurfs?
Belgian?
No, the Smurfs are Belgian.
Is it like Flemish Belgian, though? Because they're definitely not French Belgian.
Oh, no, I don't know. Mate. Are you thinking of Moomins?
No, they're Finnish.
Yeah, exactly. Lovely little.
Anyway, speaking about weird words and where they come from, wink, wink, I've got a game for you. I've got some weird words as provided to me by the BBC, Radio 4. Thank you very much, BBC Radio 4. Keep it as nice and middle class.
Nice.
And I thought you're quite a fan of words. You're a wordy man.
Yeah, I'm a wordsworth.
You're a wordsworth. Well, I mean, you're
a wordsmith.
Wordsmith. I mean, you're
wordy.
Yeah, poopsmith.
Word
you?
Up.
I'm
backward.
Yeah, anymore?
Forward.
Edward Woodward.
I'm done.
I got some words, mate, and I want to know what you think they mean.
What I think they mean.
These are so the article that this is from is called Seven Old English Words, little O on old, so not literally old English, just older English
words. So it's not like...
That deserve to make a comeback. So this article argues that they want these words back. I think most of them are shit, but they're quite funny.
Okay.
But I read this, and there is one word in here which you use with remarkable frequency.
Really?
And is actually a word and is very close to what you think it means. So that's why I wanted to do
what
this.
I think it means.
No, as in, like, I doubt you knew this was a word and went, oh, that's a good word, I'm going to start using it. It's the kind of thing we made up when we were pissed and then we'll use it forever.
And then eventually...
You'll get it. Well, you'll see. Number one, Pads, you've got to tell me. So the game is, you just got to tell me what you think these words mean.
And justify it?
Yeah, if you want to. They're not all going to be workoutable.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
All right.
There are a couple of quite obviously Latin-y, Roman-y ones.
Okay.
And then some of them are just weird.
Okay, cool.
Right. Number one, expurgofactor. Expurgofactor.
Expurgofactor. Can you use it in a sentence, but that would probably be unfair.
Tell
me if it's
Paddy was annoyed by his expurgofactor that morning.
Is it something to do with like outward pressure, like pressure, or expectations?
Hmm.
Expurgofactor, or sweating,
sweating.
Yeah, it could be like expunging,
expurgate.
If you purge,
yeah,
from your body,
yeah.
Is it a pool?
No. It's ER, not UR.
Oh.
Xper.
Expurgofactor
or expurgofactor. I think it's purge, maybe.
Paddy was annoyed with expurgofactor that morning. The loud noises that I can't control.
That's actually quite close, mate. That's actually really close. Really simply, something that wakes you up.
Oh, cool.
Expurgofactor. So it can be like an alarm clock, it can be like the dustman, just the word for stuff that wakes you up.
Expurgofactor.
Expurgofactor. Like literally the thing that makes you expurg, which is like seize up and out of bed.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, it's expurg
is like throw.
I hate expurgofactor.
I know. You were annoyed by your expurgofactor.
Right, okay, expurgofactor. I'm going to add that to
I thought you'd like that.
That's really good.
Okay, what about, this is also a really good one.
Yeah.
From Italian. Not going to be a big. Not this. Not. Oh, is it? From, I don't know where it's from. Lanspresado. Lanspresado.
Is it one word?
One word. Lanspresado.
Lanspresado.
It's not Italian. Sorry, I misread something in the article.
Oh, okay. So I've got no hope.
No.
Lanspresado. Is it someone?
I'll give you a clue if you like in a second.
Is it someone who betrays you? Is it a betrayer?
In a way, it does come. This term did originate in a dictionary of thieves slang from 1736.
Is it like backstabber?
No. Too more specific than that.
A lance prosado. A fence?
A lance prosado. No. Sorry. No, you're thinking too much about thieves.
I'm thinking about the thieves guild in Skyrim.
It's not really about thieves. It's
A lance prosado.
But it is a dick. It's someone you'd hate.
It's someone I'd hate.
I think so.
Oh, is it a showboater?
No.
Oh.
Alright, you've had
Is it a juggler? Sense.
It is. It is literally he that comes into company with but 2 pence in his pocket, but it was used for someone who forgot their wallet. Like, if someone repeatedly would show up without their wallet and have to be paid for, they're a lance prosado.
That's great.
Isn't that a great word?
I think they still exist in a big way.
Yeah, lance prosados. Yeah, there are definitely people who make a routine of not paying for shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're both looking at each other with a slight smile as if we're like, we didn't think of some.
I think it used to be me.
Okay. Well, no, yeah, but you would always make a big...
So betrayal!
Big point
you're
betrayal
right.
was close, right? Yeah, you were kind of close. All right, this
You know
the
why
one.
I said that?
Why?
Lando.
Lando. Okay, are you ready for this, man?
Oh, I am ready for this.
Grubbling.
Little grubbling.
Do you know what grubbling means?
Is it like...
Come on.
It's like scrabbling around. It's like grasping at straws. It's like little...
Almost.
You're picking up lots of...
Yeah. Picking up lots of literally spot on. Like, this is a word I thought we'd made up.
Oh, amazing!
And it's a real word. The art of searching through your pockets for your phone or keys or any similar small objects.
That's grubbling.
Well, that... The word was created as a verb for pockets specifically. It can also mean searching around desk drawers for similar small objects. According to one definition, grubbling is, quote, like groping except less organised.
That is fantastic.
Isn't that great?
Because that is, and they've definitely got there through different means. Because it's when you and I play like Zelda or something.
Yeah.
I call the goblins grublins.
Yeah,
for some reason.
The goblins.
And then exactly. And I call them little grublins, and they're like because they're running around, they're like, and they're like picking stuff up and throwing it and running over here. So it's like it's scrabbling.
Grubbling, yeah,
isn't that is great, little grublin.
Grubbling.
I've just gotta go grubbling.
I've gotta go grubbling. You're definitely a grubbler.
I am a grubbler. I love grubbling.
You're a big grubbler.
God, I'm a grubbler.
Okay, that's a good one. Razzle is number 4.
And razzle?
Razzle, yeah.
Razzle.
It means something, it's not going to be like, you know...
It's not sexy.
It's
like,
not, okay. Yeah.
Well, a Razz mag used to be a porn mag.
Yeah.
So is anything to do with, like, something like taboo?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
right.
it's quite a standard thing.
What about, like, anal?
Anal? Give her a bit of razzle, mate.
Give her a bit of razzle.
I'll tell you what, mate. This bird, right, she let me razzle her straight away.
And then she razzled me.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey! Good time was had by all.
Sexual equality, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Razzle.
It's quite a...
razzle. Is it to do with birds?
No. Oh. Give me a definition, come on.
Okay, razzle. To razzle?
It's a verb.
Okay, can you use it in a sentence, please?
No.
Oh, okay, great.
Really give it away.
It's...
Again, it's very specific, so I couldn't really...
Is it catching something in a net?
No.
Like sort of...
Razzle him. That's it, like, ha-ha! Razzled!
Yeah, exactly. Christ, razzled again.
It's to cover someone in hundreds of thousands.
Like little razzle.
Little razzle.
No, it is.
I really thought you were serious for a second.
The first line of the definition is probably more familiar to some as the name of a special interest magazine for gentlemen.
Right. Yep.
Wink, wink.
Razzle.
It literally means to cook something until the outside of it burns while the inside remains raw.
Like searing.
No. So like they suggest any football fans who bought a burger from a van outside of like a football ground.
Oh, it's just
but like
just razzle.
Badly cooked when it gets properly burnt on the outside and the middle is still a bit raw, like shitty, like frying or
like that's
you can also razzle yourself by if you're cold and you warm yourself up by a fire.
Yeah,
and you know when you get like your hands get really hot on the outside, but you're still like
you're still
cold
your core temperature is low.
That's you can razzle.
That is razzling.
Isn't that great?
I'll try and keep razzle. I quite like that.
That's a good one.
Don't razzle my porn.
I'm going to save this next one till the end because it's the best one.
Okay, all right.
Number seven. Number seven. So number five on in our list.
Yeah.
Kakistocracy is one they've put in. And I think you can probably get this.
Kakistocracy.
Yeah.
I don't know. A system of government that just has never worked.
Almost. So when it's an ocracy, it means who's ruling is the first bit.
Oh.
The first bit of the word is who's ruling.
Who's rule?
Who? As in, theocracy means it's
a
run by.
Yeah, run by.
The kakist.
Well, kak is...
kakist.
Kakist. Well, in Russian, kak is what? Not knowing who's in charge of a situation?
No, mate, I can't think you're Latin.
Kak... Oh, but dude, I don't fucking...
Oh, it's Greek, actually. Kakis.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. Sorry, they're the same thing, aren't they? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, all classical languages
great.
The same.
Yeah, of course.
There's an open book for
whatever. Through my textbook, I guess now.
I don't say. Kakistocracy is a country run by the worst, least qualified, or most unscrupulous citizens.
Oh, so I was close to it.
You
at the
were
beginning.
Close, yeah, exactly.
Ah,
yeah.
Kakistocracy, it's got like cack as well, yeah. for a load of cack.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I like that.
So cack sounds like a real life.
I can see why the Beeb want to bring that one back.
They say it's a communist, an incredibly apt word that's never been more important than in these turbulent critical times, Jeremy Corbyn. Full stop.
That's my duck leader.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. All right. That cacistocracy, that was the boring one.
I like it.
Number six. And this, there's a fantastic line in this definition I'm going to have to read out for you. Freck. F-R-E-C-K. Freck.
Freck. Is it to like, to scold someone? Or to clip someone around the ear?
No.
To freck is to, roll in something?
What if I... No, that's kind of closer.
Get in a barrel.
Do you want me to give you... Get in a barrel.
Yeah.
Be barrel oneself.
Be barreled.
Oh dear, Margaret, I can't come home tonight. I'm afraid I've be barreled. I am be barreled.
I am be barreled once more. Wait, freck, is it something you'd say like freck? Or no. Is it like, oh,
it's
I am frecked?
It's a verb.
Oh, okay. To freck.
Frecked, frecking.
Is it anything to do with barrels?
No.
Okay.
Nothing at all. Right, let me give you... This will make it easier. I'll give you the sentence in this article is, for example, Harry Kane there frecking his way through the Arsenal defence.
Oh, it's just like...
Legit. In the article.
Oh, lovely. Is it like ducking and diving? Like leaving?
Almost exactly. Yeah. Moving swiftly and nimbly.
Nice. Okay, like a goat.
And they say, yeah. Yeah. Like a spindly mountain
goat. A little frecking goat.
But they say that it's a good word for sports commentators to start using, because you always run out of words, don't you?
Ah, yeah, he's run.
Oh, he's done right, run right through. He's cut through it like a hot knife through butter.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, the last one, Pads.
Oh,
I think
cool.
This may be your favourite.
Okay.
This may get into your daily usage. Cuddle me buff.
What?
Cuddle me buff.
Cuddle me buff.
It's a hyphenated, three hyphenated words. Cuddle me buff.
Cuddle me buff.
Cuddle me buff.
Is it sex?
No, it does sound good.
Because it's like, cuddle me in the buff.
Do you want to do a bit of cuddle buff?
Cuddle me buff. Cuddle me buff. Okay, once again, is it? I assume it's not a word. It can't be cuddle me buffing.
It's a noun. Cuddle me buff.
A cuddle me buff. It's an unexpected treat.
In a way... Again, way more specific.
Okay, it's an unexpected blowjob.
Surprise! That's what blowjobs sound right?
Yeah, exactly.
I give them, that's what they
given
sound
by
like.
An armadillo.
An armadillo? That'd be much more clanky.
Or by given by grublins.
Yeah.
Cuddle me buff. I think I've heard this word before.
Yeah.
And that's what's... And buff is B-O-U-G-H, right?
No, B-U-F-F.
Oh.
It's from Yorkshire. I'll tell you that.
Cuddle me buff. Oh, it's a. It's a drink. It's
so close.
It's like a warming. It's a drink that you. It's a food.
It's just a beer. It's an old
Yorkshire term for a beer.
Because I was thinking like the jacket, like the beer jacket, the Colour Me Buff.
Isn't that just like the best? I've just had a Colour Me Buff.
I've just had a little Colour Me Buff.
Yeah,
that's absolutely.
Oh, I'm just gonna be. I'm just cuddling. I'm gonna cuddle for a bit.
I've forgotten all of those words already. Do you know that?
Do you want me to run through them again?
No. Hang on.
Ex-purga factor,
which of course.
Come on, man.
It's the alarm clock. It's the
something
thing that wakes you up.
Anything that wakes you up. Lamprisado.
Or person who always forgets their wallet.
Yeah, grubbling, of course.
Grubbling going through your pockets.
Yeah, razzle.
What have I forgotten?
Burger. Razzle. Just think of burger.
Oh, yeah, but badly cooked.
Yeah, cuddle me buff.
Yeah, a beer.
Freck.
Ducking and diving, weaving.
Harry Kane.
Yeah.
And kakistocracy.
Yeah, which is just...
Oh, bloody government.
Oh, God, bloody government. Theresa bloody...
Theresa May. More like... Snabble action.
More like crap election.
Like, Corbyn, more like... Jorbing.
Boring. Yeah, exactly. I've got one for you. I've got a word for you.
What?
Fuck, I actually do.
What is it?
See if you know what this means.
Does it involve fondling your dressing gown?
It's a verb that I learnt today.
Okay.
Scurry funge.
That's not right.
All one word. S-C-U... RRYFUNG.
Scurry funge. So funge is like scurry funge. Scurry funge. A mushroom. Some kind of mushroom.
Nope.
Or a fungus.
It's a verb.
To scurry funge. I don't know. To move like a spore.
No. you're not close.
No. What is it?
Scurry funging is when you are unexpectedly having to very quickly tidy up your place because guests are coming that you didn't necessarily know.
I never knew I needed a word for that.
So you go, come on team, we've got a scurry funge. They're going to be here in 5 minutes. So it is like throwing pillows onto sofas and all that
but
sort
don't
of
you
thing.
Find with all those, that's great. That's, yeah. That's really, and it's very evocative. But don't you find with a lot of these words, it's like, oh, I'm really glad I know what that means. I'm never gonna use it.
Yeah, exactly.
Never gonna fucking use it.
Because also, if you do use it, the other person will go, well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then you'd have to explain it anyway, and then it's, yeah.
Like, every book I'm, there's always a trope in, like, short stories when, like, two people will be going, like, you know, it's like the Germans have a word for this. And the other people will be like, what? It's like, this, it means the feeling of being slightly too full of poo when you really need a poo.
It's called Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude. And there's like, wow, that's so profound.
That is so deep.
Yes.
Yeah.
The end.
It is. I think we should end every podcast with
it's really good.
Oh, mate, well, thank you for being my little English teacher, and I think you might have learned a thing or two as well. Actually, just one. You've learned one thing.
Oh, barrel me fuckways.
Well, that is great. Cuddle my butts and...
Buff.
Cuddle my buff and... get a frack. No, that's my... I've misunderstood.
Frack off.
Yeah, frack you.
Well, come over here. Little granddaughter of mine, you sweet thing, tell me. Little girl, can you sing?
Yes, granddad, I can.
No, don't!
Are you sitting comfortably? Because we're rolling out some...
What's this?
Old material!
Well, back by popular demand.
Actually, by popular demand.
Yeah, lots of people asked. When we did episode 50, we asked what people wanted to have back and some characters and stuff, and then we summarily ignored a lot of those.
Yeah, exactly.
And thought it'd be time to do it for episode 51.
Yeah, exactly. So
we're bringing back the old fan favourite, the bit of the podcast where Paddy or Laurie tells the other one, Paddy or Laurie, three stories, but one of them's made up. One of them's a real one, and two of them made up. Which one's which? Find out this week. This bit of the podcast where Paddy and Laurie tell three stories, and one of them's a real story,
and the other
two of them made up.
Yeah.
This week.
I thought it was...
On podcast.
what an intro. I thought it was one of them was made up.
Oh, shit.
It now, was.
Before, it's... you did. The ones you did before, you did Sainsbury's.
Yeah, I did the Sainsbury's shop, Annie Lennox, and the duck follower.
Oh, and, yeah, and two of them were correct.
And you had to pick out...
All right. I can change this on the fly. That's fine. I got it. Okay, I can do it. I can do it.
But do you want to explain how this week it's a little different?
So this week on the podcast, someone's going to tell three stories.
But oh no! Oh, one, only one of them's made up!
Look out!
This week it's going to work because I'm going to do it for Pads. I've got three stories for Pads. Because we've run out of time on recording and we thought it'd be nice to bring it back every kind of week. And also Paddy couldn't think of any stories he hadn't already told me and or the listeners.
So I'm going to go out there and make some memories, guys.
God, you're going to make something disgusting.
Yeah, and then you will be able to tell that I've had gone and done out with the purpose of having a story. I'll be like, so you never guess what happened. I went to Tesco's and I hit someone. I hit them really hard.
I don't think they got up.
Yeah, exactly. And now you need to come and get me from the police station.
It's really quite urgent. Bye.
Bye. Exactly.
Wow. Yeah, that would be bad. Okay. Well, here we go. I've got some stories for you.
Are you gonna give me
now?
The titles?
You may know one of them. Oh, do you want titles?
Well, yeah. Because what we did last time is you do three titles and I get to choose. I get to choose, or you can pick.
Oh yeah, do that.
Order.
Okay, I'll give you the three titles. Sorry, you're so right. I've completely forgotten the form.
Sorry. Come on.
Sorry.
Rules within rules.
Okay. The three stories are called.
Hello, gang. It's Laurie here with a funky podcast intermission. We realised when we listened back to this bit, actually, that one of the stories I tell isn't very fair to some friends of ours. So we've gone back and we've censored all the names to make it a bit more fun. I mean, you guys can guess among each other who you reckon it might be about. It's probably someone quite boring and uninteresting, so don't waste too much time. But yeah, hopefully you'll have just as much fun with the amusing censorship that we've put in place instead. All right. See you on the flip side.
One of them is called partying with
beep.
Okay. Number two is called seagulls. Number three is called a little rosebud. Okay, you've got to guess. So what were they called again? Number one, partying with
partying
pee.
With
beep
with
beep.
And number two is
seagulls.
Uh-oh. It's uh-oh, exclamation mark, seagulls, question mark.
Okay, great.
And number three is...
Something about a rosebud?
Little rosebud.
Little rosebud.
Tiny little rosebud.
These sound like these sound like short stories from that guy you like.
That guy I like.
Who you gave me that can...
Oh, Raymond Carver. Yeah. They're all called, like, So Much Water, So Close to Home, and The Kids, and Jerry and Molly and Sam.
Sometimes juice isn't enough.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right, which one do you want first?
First, I would like partying with...
Partying with...
No!
Okay, once upon a time, two of my friends got married. Well, one of my friends got married to another friend who I knew because she married my friend.
Was it Zach?
No.
He's not married. You would have told me that.
I would have told you that. It's my friend, a friend of mine from uni who's going to remain nameless just because you'll see.
Oh, convenient. Convenient.
And before the wedding, a bunch of us, of all our mates, we got invited to a engagement party. Such was the social strata of these people getting married.
Right.
Their parents had the resources to organise an engagement party.
Which involved
like 100 people of this person's friends being invited to his now wife's parents' place, which was on a coastal town in Britain. Fucking beautiful house, amazing, lavish canapes fired into the mouths of attractive women and men and babies. Oh, they were so hot.
Right, so kind of... Right, okay.
Canapes.
All right, I love
at this
canapes.
Party, I was there with a couple of friends. We were all chilling out, and we knew that the bride-to-be had quite a cool family. There are some cool members of this family.
Okay.
One of them was...
One of them was Sting.
But basically, at this party, it transpired, was your man...
It's a secret. Shh.
Can I just say... What a dancer. What speed, what grace, what finesse. Anyway,
right, okay.
We had a great time, got really pissed, danced.
No.
And other people.
Yes.
Morning after, went back for engagement breakfast, of course. These are the people who have an engagement breakfast with fucking champagne.
Right.
And like really nice bacon sandwiches and all this amazing stuff. And there, again, was...
No!
Looking remarkably fresh-faced and wonderful.
Well, he came back for round two.
Yeah, because he was a big part of this party.
And
I was there, one of my other friends, and we were chatting to... Because we've got to talk to him. Like, we've got to go say hi.
Right.
We'll never forgive ourselves if we don't. Went to say hi, and he kind of turns around from having another conversation, and we were kind of nervously walking up to be like, hi, we want to say thanks, you know, it's really great to meet you. And he went, and he grabbed my hand, and vice gripped it, shook it really hard, went, mate, how the fuck are you? And I was suddenly completely like.
Did you shit yourself?
I shat myself completely. Like just like little hatch. Like,
oh wow!
And the seat and my friend turned to me and kind of looked at me sideways as if to say like, you what's going on here? And basically, he was convinced that he'd gone to school with me, and he went to a very posh school that I'm not going to name now. And I just went along with it.
You lied.
Yeah, I just agreed to everything. And was like waiting for the first out. I can't remember the conversation exactly, but it was like he was like, "Do you remember? Oh, you know,
you were like Mrs.
Stunk." I was like, "Yeah, oh my god, he was such a dick. Like, lovely old man,
dead now, of course."
It was all that, and like, and he was saying, "Look, you must come. My mum's here. You must come say hi to mum. She'll love to see you." I was like,
"Mummy, not going to tell you."
Like, yeah, look, I'll get a drink and then I'll see you later.
You ditched him.
Well, I couldn't follow through on that lie because then I'd have to introduce myself.
Right.
And he never used my name and he was one of those. And basically, me and my friend made our, and was like, "Oh, we'll see you later, mate. See you. Really good to see you. Really great to see you. Yeah, see you later." Went and got a drink and we're like, what the fuck is happening? I don't know what to do. I definitely didn't go to school with him. I definitely don't know what to say. And as a result, I couldn't then say, "I love you" with being...
No, no.
"I love you."
Oopsie.
Because he thinks I'm a friend now, and it was like, it was terrible.
Did you?
So,
okay.
So we, luckily the rest of the party is quite short. Everyone's really hungover, so a lot is forgiven. And then we're going to leave. And as we're leaving, the mother and father of the bride say goodbye to us. And like, yeah, thanks for having us and everything. As in, we say thanks for having us to them.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he comes and grabs me as we're going out. "And mate, look, I'll send you an email, right? We'll go, let's go and get a drink when I'm back in town, right? Yeah, see you later." I was like, "Okay, goodbye." And then left and never heard from him, obviously.
No.
Because I didn't go to school.
With Joan Cusack. Mm?
What? Okay.
That's the moral of that story.
Well, I know that you didn't go to school.
With Joan Cusack. Mm?
Because yeah. I think I'd have noticed. But all right, okay.
That's story number one.
That is a good story.
That's partying with Loki. Okay, what's your one next? Uh-oh, seagulls or Little Rosebud?
Rosebud.
Little Rosebud.
Little okay. Rosebud.
This is quite a short and sweet one.
Okay.
When I was at Cardiff... Went to uni in Cardiff.
University.
Higher
education.
Higher education. Degree.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a 2-1 in English Lit. Who's boasting?
Who's
not me?
Who's even counting?
I was in a band at uni. Played with my friend Will, a lot of other people, in quite a folky band. And we would usually play in Bristol and beyond. Like, not many gigs in Cardiff.
Bristol and beyond. Terrible place.
A terrible place it is. And and one night, it was a Saturday night. And
right.
Cardiff, if you've ever been there, is a big party city.
I have
on a Friday
there.
And Saturday night.
Yes.
It's full of people.
Yes.
They are not the kind of people we go to the pub with. They are, we're going out boozing and clubbing and they're kind of reprehensible.
These are people who know how to party.
Yeah. Yeah. In the valleys, they're blitzed to party.
Yeah.
And me and Will were walking back through town at about, must have been, not like 11:30 on a Saturday, so not really late or early morning. Both had musical instruments on our back, and what always happens, you know this as well.
If you're carrying an instrument
and piss people around,
yeah, you will get.
Oh, mate, play us a tune. Go on, give us a song.
And whenever you walk into a pub, it's like, oh, the band's here then.
And you know, we'd had a bit of this, but Will particularly was really good at dealing with these people in very good humour and kind of, and he had a banjo, which was really weird, and people were always like, oh, it's a banjo or something. Great.
Yeah, yeah.
And when one time, so we come back one Saturday night, and you know. Being in Union Wales, hadn't had much exposure of like really Welsh shit because it's Cardiff. It's
a
very English city.
It's really. Kind of its own place in the middle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you've been there as well.
Yeah.
And we were walking along this place called Queen Street, which is a big pedestrianised shopping street.
Yeah.
On the way back to the Studentville, and we were walking slowly, ambling along, and this guy wheels round and stops us and goes, like, he was like, "Hey boys, what you doing? You off to play a gig or something?" I'm like, "Oh no, we've just come back from how are you trying to like walk away?"
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, "Oh, what you playing there, boys? What you got? You got a violin and a banjo, you know, all this stuff." And anyway, trying to your proper thick valleys.
Yeah. It's good, man.
And then we were quite clearly like, backing off and ready to go, and he just goes, "Boys, look, I know you're going home. So I'm just going to leave you. You're not from around here, are you? You two." We were like, no, we're British. We're like, you're English, actually. We're not from here." He's like, "You won't know this. I've got one piece of advice for you. You'll never hear anywhere else, right?
Right.
Do you want to know what a sheep's conch looks like?" And we were like, "Oh goodness, no.
What a sheep's conch?
What does a sheep's conch look like?" And we were like, "No." And he's like, literally every alarm is like, "Something's happening. He's going to stab us. Like, he's going to show us a sheep's cunt. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen." He's like, "Well, you boys, just so you never have to look. It looks like a little red rosebud with a white afro. It's beautiful. and then just like walked off into the night on his own. And it was the best Welsh interaction with anyone I've ever had, was a man describing what a sheep.
That is that's either amazing
or terrible,
or you're quite racist to have made that up.
I did. Like, who knows? Story number three:
with a white afro.
With a white afro, that's the worst bit. And the rosebud, as
a
if rosebud, it's like dainty.
A rosebud is a very like it's a very clear image,
yeah,
in my head as
it's
well.
It's too clear.
But aren't rosebuds quite small?
Well, apparently sheep's cunts are too.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't want to know that. I hope it's a lie.
Now you do.
So that I don't know that. Okay, great. All right, good. Well, I guess.
Uh-oh, seagulls.
Uh-oh, seagulls. Uh-oh, seagulls.
When I was a young nipper, me and my family used to go on holiday to the same place in Cornwall every year called Helpford on the Lizard, on the peninsula.
Helpford on the Lizard.
Helpford.
Helpford.
It's a real place on the Helpford River.
Right.
Just down the river from Helston.
Real place, not
Helston, mine. Which is like a big town.
Okay.
Which is just kind of south of Newquay. Quite a long way south of Newquay. But like that the west bottom end. You know the Lizards? The bit that sticks out at the bottom of Cornwall.
Oh, right. Like Torquay and that.
No, Torquay's like in Devon, I'm pretty sure. But that's fine. And we... Well.
I'm just saying
and
words,
we were
man.
Just saying southern towns.
Yeah.
And we went every year. And it was we went with the same... Like there were three or four families. We rented this big set of houses and flats together in like one... That holiday home thing,
right?
And it was always really fun every year. There were kids, mine and my sister's ages, and we hung out and we went every year. It was a really fun thing. One year, we missed a couple of years, and this must have been almost about 16. We went back for like one kind of final hurrah, and we used to do stuff like going out to the pub, eat prawns at the pub together, water pistol fight like every night,
lovely
and stuff. And we kind of and went to the seal sanctuary, all these things.
The seal sanctuary.
Oh, the seal sanctuary is brilliant.
Why haven't we been
so
there?
So many, because it's in Cornwall.
Were you about to say so many seals?
So many seals.
It's just you think there's going to be loads, and then there's more of them.
And a daily concert by seal.
Oh wow!
Amazing man.
Playing on
a
his
kiss from a porpoise.
Good.
Is no kiss at all.
Playing on his dugong.
Dun, oh, dun, nice. Dun. Yeah. Is that like a gong, but made by Jewish people?
No. Like the Pokemon,
I know,
Laurie.
I know.
Like the Pokemon.
Anyway, on this last year, it was quite weird because a lot of us kids were getting older. I was like 16. My sister was only like 12. But, like a couple of us were a bit like, oh, not, it's not cool enough anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
And basically one night on a Sunday, there were like people there who'd cook really good dinners and breakfast for you.
Right.
And then on the Sunday, they'd not work and you'd have to cook your own thing.
Yeah.
So one Sunday morning, a couple of us went out and went fishing in the morning, got some mackerel for dinner.
Lovely.
We went to loads of fucking effort. My mum and a couple of the other people went out and did a big shop at the market and got some really good local produce and stuff. We're all set for this like massive dinner of really good stuff. And we went out for the day, probably to the beach or the seal sanctuary or something.
Right.
And came back to, this kitchen, amazing, huge, like, oh, not like industrial, but like a kitchen used by chefs, right? This big dining room, because it's this holiday home. It's
oh,
a really
I see.
Nice,
okay.
Big
right.
Kitchen.
Hot plates and shit.
Yeah, like proper, huge and well-equipped.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, we get to use it tonight. All came back after our day out, all ready to kind of cook and excited to cook the fish and stuff.
Yeah.
Open the kitchen door and it's like a fucking tsunami in there. There is like...
Is it flooded?
Food, no, food everywhere. The fridge is wide open. Like, there's a big box of vegetables that's been like, looks to have been like upturned everywhere and stuff.
It's your dad.
And it's my dad. He got the horn and just went off.
Like, just went full on a china shop.
We couldn't work it out, and we were like, "Fuck!" And like the mackerel, particularly, was gone. Like just like bits of it everywhere.
Particularly was gone.
Like, well, like notably, all the mackerel was gone. Right? Like, you know,
I think
of all
the
stuff that
I think from
taken,
the title of this story,
you may know where
I
it's
might
gone.
Have worked out where it's gone.
We couldn't work out for the longest time what happened. We were going around clearing up, and then after a couple of minutes of clearing out, you just kind of had from like. This huge walk-in larder that had a weighted door on it, right, that would shut automatically. And we were like, what? Is there someone, like, gagged up in there? And, like, we thought it was nothing, and we thought it was someone messing around.
Thought
and
it was nothing.
And then you heard, like, poof, on the door. Then, what the fuck is happening? And eventually, really trepidatiously, me and my mate Jonathan walked over to the larder door and, like, pushed it open. As we pushed it open, this beak appeared. Like a rabid fucking seagull trapped in the larder. And what we worked out must have happened was they had got in, we left the door open or a window open. These
right.
Two chancing seagulls had flown in, fucked everything up, eaten loads of mackerel, gone mackerel crazy somehow, and looking for more food, had managed to get into the larder through We don't even know how. Still, we don't know if the door was open and the wind blew it closed or something. But there were two of the angriest but best well-fed seagulls.
There were two of them now.
Two seagulls. Well, one came at us through the door and we eventually
came
there.
I like your hand
there
motion.
There were two angry seagulls. And I wish the story had more of an ending other than that we just had to open it and then they flew at us and went, ah! And then we had to like shepherd them out the door and then they shat everywhere.
Right.
And we had no dinner.
You had no dinner?
No, what? Like, well, no eating all the mackerel, they'd like fucked up a lot of the vegetables and I'm pretty sure we got a takeaway. I can't remember. But we definitely had to seek alternate dinner thanks to a pair of fucking seagulls.
Uh-oh, seagulls.
Uh-oh, seagulls. Those are your three stories, Pats.
Brilliant. Okay.
First question is, which did you like the most?
Which did I like the most? Yeah. No, I liked all of them in different ways, though.
Okay.
I think now can I ask like maybe a question about each?
Oh yeah, sorry, you could have done that at the time.
I wanted to get the lay of the land first.
I wanted to get all my lies on the table.
Okay, all right, and I'm gonna see if I okay. All right, hang on. So this
who
character uh-huh. right? This guy. What's his voice?
But who could it be?
That
and he's like yeah, he's quite unashamedly posh. He's someone who's definitely been trained how to speak very well.
Okay.
But he's quite reserved and he's quite, but he was quite animated when he said hi to me, but he's like, yeah, mate, oh, it's really good to see
but
you.
But he's a, yeah, no, yeah, you
hi,
actually.
How are you?
Okay, you've done a really good impression of him. Second question about, beep. Was he very distracting at the wedding?
Like, as in people were looking at him all the yeah. time. Yeah, absolutely. Well, the wedding was months later.
Oh, yeah, it was the engagement party. Wasn't it?
Engagement
okay.
Party. But he was, and he and his sister did a speech at the wedding, which okay. was fucking amazing.
Okay, all right. Honestly. Second story.
Colour, mate.
Going about this little rosebud.
Yeah.
I'm just going to come out and say it. I think that's true.
Why?
Because
you're racist.
No.
See, now you're the racist.
Now I'm the racist. Hang on. Am I trying to work out which one's true or which one's false?
You tell me. I can't remember what it was. Well, I thought I made up one.
No. Well,
I made up two.
You met two, so two of these are made up.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what I thought I was doing, so that's what I did.
Two of these stories are made
one
up.
One is true.
Okay. All right, okay.
But, oh, yeah, okay.
All right.
I'll tell you what I've done afterwards.
Have you messed up?
No.
Okay. Oh, okay. Oh, you little scamp. All right, this Welsh fella, yeah. right? Okay, was he mental?
No.
Or was he drunk?
Drunk.
Was he alone?
Yeah, but he was outside of a notorious bar in Cardiff called, what's it called? Not Midnight Lounge, Live Lounge.
You could say anything. And
yeah, I know, but I wanted to be accurate.
Live Lounge.
Live Lounge, which like opened at 11 and closed at 6 a.m. or something.
Okay.
And he was on his own outside of there on this Cheshire Street where lots of drunk people
lots of
kind
pissed
of wander
people.
Around.
Okay, this little Afro thing. Okay, all right, okay, all right. And the third story.
Yeah.
Now, okay, my first question is, this weighted door, right?
Yeah, well, that's what I can't really remember. But you know what you get in, like, in that public places?
Yeah.
Like a
where the
door
shut.
Door.
Yeah, where the door shuts automatically. My question is thereby, how did the seagulls get in?
That's what we couldn't work out. That's what I tried to articulate. There's not a window in. We thought usually this was propped open.
They're pretty powerful.
They're pretty fucking powerful. And they were slamming against that door. And there were two of them. I mean, two seagulls, mate.
Yeah, come on, that's twice as many
twice
as one.
Twice as many seagulls. And we couldn't work it out. We thought maybe they might have hit the door off the latch or something.
Okay, all right, okay. And could you just do that seagull noise for me again? No, it's actually really good. That is really good. But you have spent a lot of time with gulls.
And
so this
you.
Could be. And also, and you see, I think the seagulls, when you let them out of the cupboard, if there was still food strewn everywhere, because they're seagulls, I think before going, they'd have had another go.
Oh, they tried. That's what I'm saying. It was a maelstrom.
Oh, and you shepherded them.
Exactly. And I think we did have the wherewithal to put most of the food away by that point.
Okay.
But yeah, they were still hungry for blood.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I think I'm ready
okay.
for my answers.
What's your answers?
Okay. I think the seagulls one is a lie. And the reason I say it is purely chance, because my lie last time was also there was a big shop and it got destroyed. Good. Which I wonder if that is like a common lie.
Big
like,
shop.
Oh, big shop. I did a big shop. And you never guess what happened to it.
Fucking just seagulls, mate.
But you also know that I love birds.
Yeah.
So I wonder if
you
I
think
I,
it's
like,
been engineered. That's
I think you would have brought that up before because I talk about gulls a lot and I do that noise a lot and I wonder. So I think that's
okay.
a lie.
Okay.
Now,
the story that is definitely not about Chris Akabusi, I promise.
I think I've heard Zach say that he's met
Chris Akabusi.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that thereby, Zach and you will have been at the same Cardiff person's thing.
Mm.
And thereby, I think you've met him. But the scenario surrounding it...
Don't look at me like that.
The scenario surrounding it...
jealous eyes.
I'm not sure of, because I think you... Oh, I don't know, I suppose I think you would have been honest. But I've never seen you starstruck.
Yeah, I was...
And that changes a man.
I definitely was starstruck.
It changes a man. But I think if you'd have gone that far, I think you would have met his mum.
Oh, no. You know me. I would have done it to save face, but at the moment that it became dangerous to me,
right,
I would have backed the fuck out.
You would have...
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's up to you to decide.
And the Welshman, it just sounds entirely plausible because I think you would have...
a filthy racist.
No, because I think you would have been polite enough to be like, okay, yeah, and stay and hear what he had to say.
It sounded like some life-changing advice he was going to give.
Whereas I don't think you're a just fuck off and like that kind of person. Okay, I think Seagulls is a lie.
Uh-huh.
And I think Welshman is a lie. Because I think I know that you've met...
former Tottenham Hotspur winger, Steed Malbronk.
Oh, mate. You got it wrong!
You got it wrong.
Seagulls was a lie.
Seagulls was a lie.
Welsh is true.
Beep.
This is why I ummed and erred, because I thought I was only making up... I was making up two stories.
Right.
And so I had that on my list of backup true stories, so I made up some of it. So I did meet him. He didn't mistake me for a schoolmate.
He didn't mistake. But fuck! I thought in my head I was like,
almost got it.
I wasn't going to mention it. I was like, I think Laurie's told me the story. I think this is.
I did preempt it earlier by saying I think I've told you one of these stories before.
So the Welshman is true.
The Welshman is 100%. That is an unedited, unexpurgated story.
Ah, fuck! And I. Oh.
I may have told you that already. It was one of my favourite stories about living in Wales.
And I think I backed out because I didn't want to seem racist.
No, but he was that man. I don't think that of every Welsh person, but that man definitely had an avid interest in what sheep's vaginas looks like.
Well...
and was super Welsh.
Okay. Well, look, that means you're winning because you...
What do I get? That means you get 1 point and I get 2 points because you got one right and I bamboozled you with two.
You bamboozled me with two. Yeah, you bamboozled me.
Should we keep a running tally?
Yeah, are we going to start from this one or the last one? Because if we're concluding the last one, you're winning by a long stretch.
Oh, the last one, why? Did I get you right?
Last one, you guessed my Sainsbury's shop was bollocks and I guessed something like you... hit Jeremy Clarkson's wife.
Oh, I got
car
hit by Jeremy Clarkson's daughter.
Which wasn't
car.
True.
No, it was kind of almost true, but not quite.
What, as in you
as in
once
Jeremy Clarkson,
saw Jeremy Clarkson?
I once got hit by a car in similar circumstances, and Jeremy Clarkson lives near me. Okay.
That, I think you explained that to me last time.
Okay. Alright, so 2-1. No, we'll just do 2-1. Brand new series.
2-1
So next week, you've got... Okay, but I think it wasn't fair, because I gave you... One of them was kind of half made up.
Uh-huh. Okay, 1-0 to Laurie.
Oh, because I got... Why?
I don't know. Because you get a point because that was good and you beat me.
LP. Week 1. 1-0. Okay.
1-0.
Next week, let's decide. Are you going to do 2 made up or 1 made up?
Okay. I think it should be...
I think 1's real. I think you have to guess which one's the real one.
Okay. 1 real story.
Yeah.
From now on, it's 1 real story.
That's
great. I'm on board. And congratulations.
Thank you.
Let me shake you by the hand.
Very good.
Let
I think you're going
to bop you on the balls. And let me just say to the listeners, I'm always open for business. So if anyone's interested, I'll be here.
Don't fuck Paddy.
Okay. I'm a liability. I can't be near glass or flames. Liability. Don't let me hold your gun or children.
He's a liability.
I once killed a man and went to jail for ages. I'm a liability. I still see him in my nightmares, but iTunes doesn't mind.
No, they don't.
And Acast doesn't mind.
I really hope they don't.
And Laurie doesn't
mind. Yeah,
mind. And our listeners don't mind.
Yeah, you should keep that to yourself, shouldn't you?
Like my bum. And now, the outro.
Hello, everybody. We've been struck with some concerns from listeners that the outro to the podcast has been just a little too silly recently.
That
isn't
is
that right, my colleague Paddy?
Sorry, I interrupted you.
That's quite
yes.
all right. You know, sometimes a bit of back and forth of badinage is quite acceptable at these times. But, you know, when you need the admin, the serious nuts and bolts of how to get in contact with us.
The screws and whistles.
Yeah, the bells and pulleys. You've got to keep a straight face and just keep it calm, man.
Straight as an arrow.
Straight-laced. So my colleague Paddy will furnish you with the information when I verbally gesticulate to the appropriate means of communication. Paddy, Twitter.
Our Twitter is available at Podshambles.
That's an at, the symbol.
Not A-T.
What about the website, Paddy?
The website is reachable online by going to www.google.com and typing in Podshambles and clicking the top link.
Or the second, in case the top one is still that strange Podshambles porn.
Yes, it's sometimes weird.
It's sometimes weird. And Paddy, what about your tour? You're doing that at the moment, your little band. Isn't
and
that nice?
You can... Bastard. And you
Straight
can...
Face, please.
You can hear more of Paddy Jervis's work on the road with Johnny and the Baptists, Eat the Poor, touring the UK until the end of May. Dates coming up include the 8th, 9th and 10th of May, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, at London's Soho Theatre, just before the weather.
What weather?
That's what they say.
It sounds like a joke,
and
my friend.
The weather.
Before the weather, though.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Time to mention our email address. Electronic mail, for those not in the loop. You have to simply... You've got to be in and around emails now, Paddy. What's the address our listeners can reach us on there?
You can reach us on podshamblees@...
Sounds like someone's just sent us one.
Yes, I've just got a little message on my phone there. At... Shall I start again? podshamblees... @gmail.com.
Lovely.
Yes.
And a special request this week, ladies and gentlemen, if you would send us your Would You Rather suggestions. That is to say, the popular parlor game whereby one participant offers two very vastly contrasting potential scenarios and is invited to consider which one they would rather.
It's a very fun game.
Very fun game.
It's very fun
for all the family.
It's what they used to play on boats.
Grandma included.
So if you could send us those, we'll be sure to read them out on the programme. And it's very fortunate, actually, because I'm just going to take it back to Paddy Jervis, who I believe, and he's a very excitable listener, he's got one for us right now. Ooh. Paddy, coming up.
Hello!
Shit, horrible.
I brought you one of my favourite... No, I'm Paddy, aren't I?
Yeah.
So, I've got a Would You Rather for you, Laurie. Because I figured, hey, you know what? You wrote all those lovely stories,
thanks.
Or you wrote two of them, and,
yes.
and one of them real,
yes.
and I loved them. So I've come up with a little Would You Rather, just to wet your toes in.
Wet
your
bubble.
Toes. And it goes a little something like this. Now, do you know how Would You Rather works?
Oh, I do.
Great. Then let us begin. All right, Laurie. All right.
Okay.
This one's quite long.
Okay. Ooh.
Would you rather have a dad...
yes, that! I want my daddy!
I want him back. Would you rather have a dad who was absolutely convinced he was pro skater Tony Hawk? Right?
Okay.
He's got no skill.
But he's not.
He's not
okay.
at all. He's got no skill in skateboarding.
Okay. Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
He will not Believes. Give up on the dream, and he is constantly endangering himself by getting out.
I can see how the situation would go.
Yeah, you walked out. He's grinding on stuff and
yeah.
falling, and he thinks he's Tony Hawk. Okay. Or have a mum who was obsessed with the band Disturbed. Right?
Disturbed!
And no matter where you were with her, she had Disturbed blasting out either on speakers or you're in the car.
No.
If you're staying at mum's, every now and then she'll...
Oh, I love this one! It's called...
She'll
oh,
kick...
Fuck,
Land
really?
Of Confusion! And she'll kick open your door and go... Ooh, rah, ah, ah, and like start going... Da-da-da, da-da, and, like,
oh, have you ever gotten down with the sickness, Laurie?
Yeah, exactly. She'll be throwing shit around your room and...
Wow.
Yeah, and whenever you're trying to hold a conversation with her or you're introducing her to your friends, she keeps on going, like the Disturbed. Get off, get off, get down with the sickness! It's like really aggressively into the Disturbed.
And she like sings, whenever she like sings it to someone,
yeah,
it's never like a lovely mum singing, oh, got to get down with the sickness.
No, it's like she's suddenly like, wow, wow. Just like throwing shit. And, yeah.
Okay, here are some questions.
Okay.
Dad believes he's Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
What if he breaks all his legs? And will he still be convinced?
Yeah. So like, he'll be in the hospital, right, in the cast, and you'll be like, Dad, you know, like,
you've got to stop pretending. And
he'll be like, no, I just can't wait to get back out there, man. I've worked it out now. I've got to get back in the
board. I'll eat that half pipe.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, you know, and he's in the hospital bed, and he's like he's studying videos of Tony Hawk, and like, yeah, he's like watching, like, he's playing with one of those finger boards. Do you remember that?
Tech decks.
And in his room, he's got posters of Tony Hawk everywhere.
Hang on, no. There's a hole here.
Yeah.
Why would he have posters of Tony Hawk everywhere if he believes that he's Tony Hawk?
Well, no, I think he's so obsessed with Tony Hawk that he is like, I'm Tony Hawk. I'm gonna be the next Tony Hawk.
Okay, but surely he would see those posters on his wall and be like, why have I got posters of me everywhere?
Okay, no, he's so obsessed. Yeah, he loves Tony Hawk so much that he will do anything to become Tony Hawk.
Okay, so it's not.
He's not deluded.
Not actually mad. Yeah. He's just.
He's not actually
obsessed.
Mental. Yeah, he's just that obsessed with it, and you cannot convince him to stop trying to become the new Tony Hawk.
What if I cut his legs off?
You're going to cut your dad's legs
what
off?
What if?
He'll get one of those little boards.
Just like, just be a legless man on,
yeah,
the
exactly. Or he will start studying how to get new legs.
Okay.
He will make it his life's work.
I mean, the thing is, that option is... Well, I mean, because I don't live at home. I'm going to assume I'm seeing a lot more, you know, a lot of my
Yeah, you're seeing a lot more of your mum and dad.
I mean, with my dad, that's a lot easier to ignore and just be like... You know, well, he's you know, going senile. That's just a thing he's going to do.
Is it, though?
It's easier than mum being really into the Disturbed. Because, like, not... Like, you know, obviously social situations abound that would be ruined by that. Mostly, I would hate it. Like, personally, that would be my vision of fucking hell. Would be my mum seeing the Disturbed all the time.
Like, would that be more annoying than you walking into the kitchen and be like, oh, I'm just going to get some toast, and then dad go kickflip and just wham, and he just hits the fridge and, oh, Laurie, hell.
I think it'd be better because I'd be like, well, that's all you're self-inflicted, and like, it would be minorly inconvenient for me, but probably quite funny. I could film it and put it on YouTube, make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And as long as he's happy in his delusion, you know, that's good. Whereas the Disturbed kill, you know, ruin lives.
So you much rather your dad was Tony Hawk?
Well, I think he was Tony Hawk as well.
You're in Sainsbury's with it. Let's say in this scenario, you're living
and he's
with mum and dad.
Shove it. He's doing a pop shove it off the veg aisle.
Yeah, exactly. He's just there.
I think I quite enjoy that.
He's like,
I think
Nolly! And just fall.
Have you seen Jackass? That's basically Jackass.
Yeah, but all the time. Yeah. Whereas mum is just, you could, you know, mum's just loud
like,
and throwing
stuff. Just, until it blows
just
over.
Kill mum.
No, I could cope with Tony Hawk. I think I'd prefer that as a situation, definitely.
You're going with Tony Hawk.
Because they're
Hawk.
Both shit, let's be honest. Like, those are both nightmare scenarios.
Well, Laurie, you'll be happy to know, the correct answer was
Tony Hawk! What do
and
I win?
That's how you win. You win a lifetime supply of...
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
Paddy Jervis shirts. Right? They're shirts, and they've got my face on them, and they're not good quotes, but they are quotes from conversations
we have.
Hang on, but a
life supply is like, lifetime supply is like 3?
No.
300?
Yeah, it's more in the early thousands.
Okay.
I'll be printing them. Right. They're going to cost you.
That's not a prize, is
well,
it?
Well, it's a prize.
If you'd like to win...
It's not a pyramid scheme.
Some stupendous prizes and definitely not be a part of our pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
Why not send in some would-you-rathers to us?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then maybe, if they're really good, or you send some money as well, I'll make you a shirt.
No, he won't.
I will make
Don't,
you...
Don't, because people will want the shirt.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just draw a shirt.
What's the fucking problem?
Yeah, that's really easy, right? If you want a shirt... And you've got some big ideas, and maybe we can talk about
we
it.
We want to hear from you. Please email them into podshambles@gmail.com or Twitter us at podshambles.
We've done all that.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'll put a thing up on Facebook as well.
Yeah.
Just send them in. We'd love to hear from you.
Pads,
what's your final thought for the day?
I've been Paddy Jervis.
And this has been Jervophiles.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah, great. See you next time on Podshambles 52.
And remember...
Or as I like to call it... Brexit vote.
Oh,
because it's 52%.
Nice.
Yeah,
it's 51 actually. This episode.
Oh yeah. No, well, that's why. Right. See you next time on.
Oh, 52. Yeah, fuck off.
Yeah,
just fuck off. I'm sick of your Brexit shit.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Go and do a fucking pop shove it somewhere else.
Yeah, I'll manual.
Christ air. Sound check.
We're doing a sound check.
1, 2, 1, 2.
Hello, I'm talking over here, and
Mate, it's just so contrived every week. Everyone knows that we do the sound check and we put it on the end.
Yeah.
Right? Well, come on. Don't be like, oh, just doing the sound
just
check.
Just hanging out.
Oh, I wonder what crazy things are going to happen this week in the sound check.
I don't know who's the... At least, thank God we can talk
you're
freely.
You're a cliche. You're a lollygagger. You're an absolute... Don't get your knee out at me.
Quit your lollygagging.
Your little spindly bird knees.
But Laurie, this is like behind the scenes. No one knows, you know?
I mean, you're there scratching your ass.
Yeah, exactly. Waddling
Cappy
around.
Full of poo.
Waddling loudly. And waddling quietly.
That's not waddling.
I've waddled.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.